Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
All right, the Buck Belue Show punches the clock on this Tuesday. Hopefully your day's going well. Look at the gang's all here, sort of. Got Sean Nerney. He always punches the clock. Road Dog Gillespie producing the show outside the studio today. We got Jordan D'Armon in here today. Jordan, what's going on?
It's not a Friday, but I'm here.
You got your Braves jersey on. You're ready to go for game three today.
Give it to me. We're going up 3-0 tonight, baby.
I like the sound of that. Buck Belue Show sponsored by Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on the Fan. Brought to you by the Haug Law Group. What do you say we get right to work?
Bucks. Big take.
All right, big game Charlie takes on Bueller today in L.A. with the Dodgers desperate for a victory.
Bueller.
Teams that go down 0-3 are 1-36 in the postseason. The Dodgers have another problem. They can't get the clutch hit. L.A.'s 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position this series. And opponents, get a load of this, are only hitting 0-98 against the Braves' bullpen with runners in scoring position this entire postseason. Now, here's a trend that needs to change. The Braves are 1-10 in their last 11 games at Dodger Stadium. No worries. Don't freak out. Win just one of these three games in L.A., and we come back to Atlanta with two shots to eliminate the defending world champs. It's time to go get them, Braves.
All right, go Braves.
I believe Milo Hamilton used to say that way back when I was a kid. We'd be listening on the radio. Go get them, Braves. So we got both Freed and we got Morton going today. Then we go with one of these opener bullpen kind of things, I would imagine, and then finish up in L.A. with Max Fried on the mound. So I'm really counting on winning today or winning that third game at Dodger Stadium before we come back home. Not really counting on the opener and the bullpen thing to work out. But I'd take a victory today. There's no doubt about it. All right, big announcement right now today. We got the Buck Belue Show High School Player of the Week for week number 9. And this week's Player of the Week, Lawson Lucky, tight end at Norcross High School with the Blue Devils. Lawson had two rushing touchdowns from the tight end position. Who ever heard of this? He had a receiving touchdown, so three touchdown performance. And get a load of this, Nerney. You're going to love this part. You rarely hear this when it comes to recognizing these high school players. Lawson Lucky had four pancake blocks, four of them. I mean, that's pretty outstanding, if you ask me. You rarely hear this.
I don't even remember them keeping track of that back when I played. I wish they had, though.
Four pancake blocks. He graded out 82% blocking. Norcross with a 35-6 win. Lawson Lucky doing the job. He's our Buck Belue Show High School Player of the Week for week number 9. Tell you what, Kyle Durham with Johns Creek High School. The Gladiators had a really nice game. You may have seen that on TV Friday night. GPTV had that one. He was 14-24 for 362 and 5 touchdown passes. They lost 48-47. And then Ty Watkins, the quarterback at South Forsyth, our high school, is really having an outstanding year. 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. Went 14-23 for 200 with a win over Gainesville this past Friday night on the road. But Lawson Lucky, congratulations. You're our high school football player of the week. Speaking of football, the Falcons are back this week. Going to take on Miami down at Miami Gardens, a Hard Rock Stadium down in South Florida. The Dolphins coming off that loss to the lousy Jaguars. Dolphins are sitting there 1-5. So I heard the locker room show talking about it before I came on the air. And everybody expecting the Falcons to go down to Miami and leave with a win, which would even our record at 3-3. Like the sound of that. 500, man. We're totally in transition. New general manager, new head coach. We've got the thinnest roster, according to ESPN, in the NFL. We're bad and we're broke, they're saying. But the expectations, I believe, are changing around here. 2-3 coming into this game. My prediction coming into the year were the Falcons going 8-9. So I think we're still sort of in that area. What were they doing during the bye week? Well, Arthur Smith and his coaching staff were self-scouting during the week. So they were looking at their tendencies, right, on offense. Isn't it all about the tendencies? Well, what they discovered, had a source telling me, they discovered that offensively, looking at the self-scouting thing and looking at the tendencies, they discovered the Falcons need to get the ball to Kyle Pitts more than they've given it to him earlier in the year. Now, you know what? We could have saved them a lot of time and effort. I could have told them that before they spent all these hours during the bye week self-scouting. I could have told them we need to get the ball to Kyle Pitts a little bit more. Calvin Ridley's back. Now, he didn't go to London. Finn unable to give me the inside skinny on this. I think Finn's holding back on us. But everybody at the coffee shop still wants to know, where was Calvin Ridley last week? And you know what I'm telling them? Look, would you leave the man's personal business alone? What does it matter that you know why he missed that game last week? We won. We turned the page. And Calvin Ridley's back this week. It was a personal matter. All right, if he wanted to know, wanted you to know, he would have announced this. So just let it slide, man.
Buck, just so you know, I can verify you saying that Finn's not telling us anything. I actually just asked him. He's back here with me. He says he knows nothing. I don't know if I believe
him. Yeah, but he had that little grin on his face like Finn knows all about what the real deal is here. But I don't think it's important, right? He's back. He's ready to beat the Dolphins this week. So let's get that record to 3-3, Atlanta Falcons. Yes, sirree. Let's get it to 3-3. So we do not have the time clock up here on the monitor. I'm having a little trouble knowing. What time do we have, Nernie?
It is 10:09 on the dot right now, Buck.
10:09. Okay. So we've given out our high school player of the week. We've talked about a little bit about set up the matchup, game 3 of the NLCS with Morton and Bueller going at it later this afternoon.
Bueller.
And we've gotten the Falcons already in this first segment. Man, pretty impressive. We're moving fast on the Buck Belue Show. Coming up next, we're going to have Tom Hart with the SEC Network. He was up in Knoxville checking out that Ole Miss-Tennessee game, and apparently Hart got out alive. We'll talk to him about what was going on up there, plus a little Jimbo Fisher news coming out of College Station. Is he interested in that LSU job? We'll hear from Jimbo next, coming up, too. Glad you're with us. Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11, here on The Fan, 680 and 93.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Go Tigers!
Show here on The Fan, 680 and 97. It is a fast ride on the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. Got a lot to squeeze in 1 hour. Love that slow ride song, though, Nerns. Good old-fashioned rock and roll, brother. I can dig some of that. Just glad I wasn't caught up in Neyland Stadium this past Saturday when all that trash started getting thrown down on the field. My goodness. Looked a little crazy. They had to delay the game like 20 minutes. Lane Kiffin even got hit with a golf ball. A range ball, for that matter. I mean, who's taking a range golf ball to a football game? Somebody looking to hit Lane Kiffin, I guess. Yes, sirree. Be careful. Might get hit in the head with a golf ball, brother. Nernie, you ever done anything like that, taking a golf ball to a football game?
No, I can't really say that I've ever brought any contraband into the stadium with me, no. I have, like, almost been hit by a golf ball before. I've almost hit another person before.
Yeah, I tell you what I've always wanted to do is, like, tee a golf ball up and hit a driver, hit it out of the stadium, man. That's what I'd like to do. And we are efforting our buddy Tom Hart with the SEC Network. I just got a text from Tom saying give him a minute. So what do you say we just go ahead and chop it up, I guess.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
All right, game three coming up this afternoon. It's going to be Morton taking on Buehler. And this should be an awesome pitching matchup right here. Buehler, it's just the ace of the Dodgers staff. I mean, look at what he's done this year. 16-4, 2.47. He's had 35 starts, counting the starts in the postseason, which I count. Seems like baseball doesn't count those, but I do since they're more important than the regular season. So I'm adding it all up. 35 starts for Buehler this season. And do you know 30 times he's gone six innings or more? 30 of the 35 starts. Three runs or less. 31 of the 35 starts, three runs or less. Talk about lockdown. That's what this dude is. Charlie Morton, not bad either. Obviously, the last time Charlie saw the Dodgers, it was late August, the 31st. He goes six, gives up three hits, allows one earned run, strikes out eight. Walks two. Now, the Braves lost that game 3-2, but I tell you what, we'll take another performance like that this afternoon. I tell you what, I like our chances if Morton can deliver that. These guys with a tremendous repertoire, too. You got Buehler throwing, he's got a six-pitch mix. Now, you're going to see the four-seam fastball sitting at 95. You're going to see a lot of cutters coming up there, too. Morton, four-seam fastball, topping out at 96, 97. He's got that knuckle curve. You're going to see a lot of those two pitches. Two of the best going at it today. Walker Buehler, fourth year in this Dodger rotation. Charlie's been around for a minute as he's getting his 15th postseason start. Let's hear from Austin Riley. Riley, is his message to the Braves team, we got to keep the pressure on.
You know, I think just the momentum that we've built, you know, like I said, we were up on them 2-0 last year. So it's like one of those things where, you can't stop now. You got to continue to apply the pressure and come out every day and you know, get after it. You know, I'm looking forward to the series or the next three games.
Absolutely. The way he's hitting the ball, man, you got to be looking forward to that. Let's hear from Mad Max. He's saying the Dodgers, they're down. But they're not out.
That's unfortunate, but we got walk going game three. So, yeah, if the baseball sayings are right, I mean, you're only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. And so we got walk going on the mound, and we definitely believe we can win with him. So, you know, that'll be our mindset, is just win the next game.
Yeah, one game at a time, huh? That seems to work for a lot of people. We win this game today, this thing's pretty much over. Only the Red Sox in 2004 have overcome, in the Major League Baseball postseason, a 0-3 deficit. Teams are 1-36 when they go down 0-3. So a big game for the Braves today. If we can get a victory, then the Dodgers are pretty, we can start throwing dirt on them. Let's go to the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Bring on our man Tom Hart with the SEC Network, and you escaped Knoxville unharmed, Tom?
Yeah, Yeah, I made it out. Buck, have you ever been on one of those flights in and out of Hartsfield where, like, maybe you're coming in to land in one of those summer thunderstorms, and you're above it, and it's peaceful, and then you kind of go down into the clouds, and there's the lightning and the thunder and the rain. I was good because I was above the clouds. I'm up in the press box. I'm nice and safe. Those kids don't have an arm to get it all the way up there. I felt a little bit sorry for my guy Cole Kubelik, who was down on the field and right in the line of fire.
Yeah, he took some cover, I bet. So Tennessee fined $250,000. They're going to take that out of their check they'll get from the SEC later, somewhere around, what, $45, $50 million. So it's really a drop in the bucket here. Describe the scene as you saw it. And what about the Volunteers also booing, or rather cheering, when Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral was injured?
Well, first of all, it may have only been $250,000, and that is a drop in the bucket. But I was privy to some of those conversations that were going on Saturday night between Birmingham and Knoxville, and let's just say that the message was delivered from the conference office that is absolutely unacceptable. And it's unacceptable in a million different ways, right, Buck? I mean, not just putting people on the field and in the stands in danger and a conference opponent, but just the PR about it. I mean, just looked terrible. You know, I'm not going to defend what they did. It's indefensible. I would say when it came to the injury to Matt Corral, there were a lot of injuries in that game, and both sides were doing it, where you go down with a cramp, you leave, you come back the next play, because there were a lot of plays running that game, and each defense wanted to interrupt the tempo of the opposing team's offense. I think Ole Miss ran 101 plays, and Tennessee ran 85 or 88. Something has to be done in college football to corral these fake injuries. And listen, we can't tell from the booth, and the officials can't tell what's real and what's not. What's a real cramp? What's not? Can you play? Can you not play? The SEC is trying to solve this problem with the help of the officials and the rules committee. They don't seem to want to address it. It has to be addressed. My suggestion, and maybe this needs to be refined, but if you go down for a play where you have to stop the clock and it interrupts your offensive rhythm and you come out of the game, then if it's bad enough that you had to come out of the game, you can't come back in the rest of that series. I think that's the only way you can find to stop this. Yeah, cramps happen. Guys get banged up and need to go down and come back in the next play. Is maybe that injury isn't as serious as we once thought.
Tom, how do these athletic directors, athletic departments, how do they control the fan base ultimately? How are you going to prevent people from throwing things on the field?
Well, you come up with a plan to execute it when those things occur. Your PA announcer, as opposed to what I heard in Tennessee that night, comes out and makes an announcement not 15 minutes into it, but immediately. I think the officials, just like in basketball, should have the opportunity to throw a flag and penalize the home team 15 yards, just like they can give them a technical foul. If it happens in basketball, you have to pay for security. You have to have cops available. I'm not talking about, you know, a retired usher who's going to help you find your seat. I mean, real security. And if it's hard to say, Buck, because I'm above the fray and I've never run a facility with 102,000 people in it. But suffice to say, if after the first couple water bottles come on the field, you send a Knox County deputy into the stands and you arrest the first kid that you see, there's going to be a whole lot fewer water bottles coming down on the field. I just thought game management did a poor job in being prepared for something like that. And if you were paying attention to when Lane Kiffin came on the field pregame, and I was down there about 50 minutes before the game started, they greeted him with a very enthusiastic blank Lane Kiffin chant. I mean, they were into it early, and it wasn't bad unless you've got virgin ears, but it was enthusiastic, it was high energy, it was one of those crowds that you kind of knew they were going to be into it the whole game, not that you'd ever expect them to you know, to interrupt the game for 20 minutes with their antics. But I wasn't surprised that they took that turn.
Tom, you'll be working the A&M South Carolina game, College Station, Kyle Field, another one of those awesome venues in the SEC coming up this Saturday night. Saw where Jimbo yesterday had to respond to the LSU situation. Is he a candidate or not? And, boy, he danced around that pretty well. Got to get your reaction to Coach O being let go down at LSU.
Well, two things. I thought Jimbo answered it clearly. He has everything he wants at Texas A&M, and so why would he look somewhere else? And very few coaches can say that in college football, right? I mean, where they have everything that they need. How many – let's count on one hand unscientifically. Saban, Sweeney, Kirby has everything he needs to win. Ohio State has everything they need to win. Texas A&M, where you look out the window and the grass is not greener because your grass is flush green. It looks like perfect Bermuda that Buck likes to hit his wedge off of. It's ideal. So I think he was honest about it. And to this point, I believe him. The Ogeron thing, listen, when you are handcuffed by who you can bring in and who you can't bring in, and it's going to be hard to win. Every coach I've ever asked about being fired that I've gone on to work with or become friends with, hey, what happened to place X? I hired the wrong guys, right? That's usually what happens. I hired the wrong guys. I didn't have a great staff. I made mistakes in my hiring process. Ed Ogeron was told who he could and couldn't hire after their national championship season. So, yeah, it's hard to replace Joe Brady and Dave Aranda. But when you're told who you have to bring in, it makes it a lot harder. So, in the end, I think it's great he gets to finish the season. He deserves credit for bringing in a Heisman winner and three first-round picks at wide receiver and an NFL running back and an NFL tight end and that uber-talented team that won a national championship. So, let's make sure we don't sell him short on that by just saying, oh, of course they won the national title. Look at everybody they had. We know how hard it is to win a national championship. That's evident. And we also know how hard it is to put together – a staff and a roster that's good enough to have arguably the best season we've ever seen in college football.
Tom, are you and the guys at SEC Network already looking down the road? Is this Georgia-Alabama game looming in the SEC title game?
Actually, during the Tennessee game the other night, I had one eye on our game and one eye on the Braves game. So I've been a little bit distracted. Like that was, I was watching Austin Riley's heroics. And trying to keep my eye on everything that was going on at Truist at the same time as our game. Yeah, listen, everybody kind of had a feel for Alabama this year that they were going to take a step back, and so a regular season loss would not have been totally a huge surprise. So for Bryce Young and Alabama to go into A&M and play in front of 107,000, that's not an easy road environment, even though he was able to pull it out against Florida. I think this Alabama team gets better as the year goes on. Most teams – okay, Buck, let's put this in a baseball perspective. You know how they call a four-seamer a rising fastball?
Yeah.
But we all know it doesn't rise. It just holds plane better than other pitches, right, especially a two-seamer, which is going to move. So, to me, when you think about where teams are right now, it's not necessarily – staying perfectly healthy, it's staying healthier than the other team. And if Alabama loses guys, the next man up is much better than the other team's next man up. So I just think Bama needs to hold serve and keep their head above water. And you don't usually say that about an Alabama team because they're typically elite, but I think they will. And I think they're going to hold plane better than some of the other teams that they have to face in the West. And by the time we get to December 7th or whatever that date is, Nick's going to have them finely tuned, and he's going to be on a better page with Bill O'Brien, his offensive coordinator, and they're going to have a better feel for what they want to be offensively. You know, Bill O'Brien's got an extensive playbook, and I still don't think he's been allowed to really get into it and to give Bryce Young all the answers that he wants. A lot of the RPO stuff that Deshaun Watson ran at Clemson, he brought with him to the Texans and introduced O'Brien to, and O'Brien has these plays in his hands. It's just a matter of putting Bryce Young in a position and being allowed to expand the playbook to give them to this great quarterback. And I think they'll start to sprinkle some of that stuff in even more so, and that offense will look better as we get going.
Tom, I really enjoy your work in college football, college basketball, college baseball, MLB, ESPN. You've done some of that through the years. But former Braves reporter, right? Really enjoyed your work there. How much do you miss covering the Braves?
That was honestly the most fun job I've ever had. And consider I get to sit in an SEC football stadium every Saturday night. I think that's saying something. That was a blast. I had made great friendships and had a lot of fun doing it, and worked with great people. So I'm excited to watch their success. And now I'm just, I might have to take out a loan to get my World Series tickets, but Buck, I'm willing to do that.
I hear you, brother. There are a lot of people thinking about that. So
yeah, that's right.
Have a great call out at Kyle Field, man. That place is rocking these days. I'm sure they're going to be excited as they take on South Carolina. We'll be watching on the SEC Network. Tom Hart, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Buck. Be good, buddy.
Tom Hart joining us on that Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line. Tom's got a lot going on. It's now time for the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Got a couple of Bulldogs cashing in this past week as defensive lineman Jalen Carter, the sophomore out of Apopka, Florida. Isn't that where Warren Sapp's from? Yeah, chip off the old block down. There must be something in the water. Jalen Carter, the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. Number 88, wreaking havoc every weekend these days. He's my newest favorite player, Jalen Carter.
He's going to be a first-round pick. Easy.
Yes. And what about earlier this year, Jordan? Did you see that red zone play where he was lined up at fullback?
Oh, yeah.
And he knocked two guys back into the end zone.
And I believe he did that last year as well. I think they had Big JD in that formation, too.
Yeah, he was in there. They
I
call
like it
the heavy package.
It's heavy, all right.
Tight end Brock Bauer, second time voted the SEC Freshman of the Week. Boy, he has just burst onto the scene with what he's doing offensively.
And we had a Freshman of the Week last week with Ladd.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey. He's your new favorite player.
He's my favorite player.
Yeah, there's a lot to be impressed with. So the Bulldogs getting ready now, already getting ready for the Gators. Now, Georgia and Florida will take this Saturday off, so they're already into preparation for taking each other on down in Jacksonville. And, man, I was looking at the matchup as far as Dan Mullen's offense and Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Glenn Schumann, Will Muschamp's defense. And, look, the Gators are all about – they flipped it this year. Remember a year ago, they were throwing it 100 times a game with Kyle Trask as the quarterback, and they've gone away from that, right? They've had to because, well, their personnel says we can't throw it effectively. We got to run the ball. And the Gators doing a nice job of that. 6.3 yards per carry, 254 yards a game rushing. That is fifth in college football. You look at Georgia on defense, number two in college football against the rush, giving up 2.1 yards per carry, 62 yards per game. So let me tell you what's going to happen here. Georgia will shut down this Gator running attack, make them one-dimensional, and force Emory Jones or Richardson to beat him with the ball in the air. And I just can't imagine in 100 years seeing that happening in the game. Keeping the Gators out of the end zone, something the Bulldogs are already trying to formulate a good plan coming into Jacksonville next week. Let's hear from Kirby. Kirby was saying after last week's game, priority number one is to keep opposing teams out of the end zone.
I love the way our guys play. They take so much pride, and we, you know, they've started a saying on our defense that, you know, not in our end zone, no one in our end zone, and they fought tooth and nail, but give Kentucky credit, they got in there twice.
Yeah, they called timeout with a couple seconds left so they could knock it in there one more time. Jordan Davis continues to be the talk of the coffee shop. My goodness, I think now he's a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender because look around. There's no offensive guy with a ton of stats, whether it's a quarterback, a running back, or a receiver, that really stands out from everybody else. So this may be a year where you can look over at the defense as far as the voters go. And through the years, over the last 10 years, I've had a vote in the Heisman. I don't know if I'm signed up to do it again this year or not. I'll find out soon. But this would be a year I'd be looking over at the defense, and I would look right at number 99. Who's the best defense in college football right now? Georgia Bulldogs. Who's the best defender on this Georgia team? Well, arguably, it'd be Big 99 Jordan Davis. Let's hear from Kirby talking about JD being both awesome on and off the field.
Maybe not for a quarterback, but for a D lineman. He's under a big microscope, and he does everything he can to the best of his ability. He works hard for us, and he's been impactful in stopping the run and allowing us to play, you know, alternative coverages that you can't do sometimes when people can run the ball on you. So he's definitely a bright spot. And more importantly, he's very entertaining in meetings, and he's a great personality. And people that don't know him should get to know him because he's just fun and fun to be around.
Yeah, and I saw him social media, man. He was attending one of the Braves games in the playoffs against the Dodgers. I believe game number two. JD was in the house pulling on the Atlanta Braves, man. He was winning a lot of people over, both with his abilities on and off the football field, but now becoming a Braves fan, too, has become public.
Todd Hartley was there, too,
I believe. He'd have a big strike zone, Jordan Davis, up there at the plate. And I tell you what, the Gators, they've got their work cut out for them as far as the Florida offensive line goes. Two offensive guards in their center going to be assigned to controlling Big 99. And you know what happens when you double-team the nose tackle? That means the other defensive linemen get one-on-one matchups. So not only is JD dominating personally, but turning loose these other guys on the defensive line too. And how about those inside linebackers, too? They get no trash up around their feet. They're able to move around and effortlessly go out there and run people down. Nakobe Dean, Channing Tindall, Quay Walker, playing behind Jordan Davis and Carter and Wyatt and Walker. And Smith and Anderson even taking advantage of that. Yes, sir, Ray. Bulldog defense looking really, really good right now. Nernie, we got time for the college football nugget. Yeah, we do. What do you say we go ahead and hit it?
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget. Presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Thought the most revealing information we had on yesterday's Buck Belue show was my buddy Mike Dettillier down in Cajun Country, WWL down in New Orleans, had Mike on, and he says that Mel Tucker is the leading candidate to replace Coach O at LSU. Mel, coaching over at Alabama on Nick Saban's staff, followed Kirby to Georgia, was Kirby's defensive coordinator, went to Colorado for a minute, now he's at Michigan State, and reportedly on that A-list. Somebody else on the A-list, Texas A&M's Jimbo Fisher, was on that LSU staff previously. Now, Jimbo met with the media yesterday, and it sounded like he was ready when somebody fired off that question about him being interested in the LSU job.
I love being here. This is the job I wanted. I'm being here. I got a great contract. I have an unbelievable chancellor. I have an unbelievable president, unbelievable AD. That we're building something. We're recruiting great players. I really believe we're on the process of building something great. I plan on being here and fulfilling this contract and doing everything. My family has roots here. I got ranches here. I hunt here. I love everything about this place.
That's right. He's
and I say that because listen, there's nothing going on there. There's nothing happening there. And I don't be disrespectful to anybody else. I coached there. It was a great place. We won national championships. It is one of the best, you know, best places in America. It's a wonderful place. I love being an A&M, and I plan on being an A&M here and filling my whole contract. I love everything about this place.
Jimbo even riding his horses out there in College Station. Meanwhile, is his agent in conversations with LSU? Typically, that's what happens, right? The coach can say, I've had no conversations with that other school. But you know what? My agent is busy working out a deal. I'd be stunned if Fisher ended up back at LSU.
I mean, you're in the same conference. Why do you, nothing changes. You're still recruiting in Louisiana.
Yeah. And as Coach O would say, you just beat Alabama. And you're going to jump ship.
Great to see you, Buck.
Hang tough, Coach. They're going to pay you that $17 million to leave down there at Baton Rouge. Well, I tell you what, it'd be nice, right, if somebody fires you and says, here's a check for $17 million on the way out the door.
I'll take it.
Hey, you really think, as Mike was telling you yesterday, Tillier, you really think we're going to see Eddie O on television next year? I mean, yes. Especially with these latest stories coming out, rumors surrounding him. Do you really think they're going to put him on TV next year?
As I understand it, there's some talks going on for Coach O to have a reality dating show.
No.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that would be TV gold, though.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It's like the new age Bachelor.
Come here, baby. Let me put my arms around you. You ever heard of Urban Meyer?
We need to make sure they're all 18 and older.
Hang tough, Coach O. They're going to let him coach out the rest of the year. And there's your college football nug. Yeah, Tom Hart was busy, so we had to juggle a little bit. That's always fun. Great having Tom on, by the way. Does a great job with the SEC Network. All right, the takeover coming up in the final word. You don't want to miss that. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why you see it your way?
It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Got Jordan D'Arman in today. Great having Jordan around. She's got her Braves road jersey on today. You're always on top of these things.
I try to be.
I thought home team had a lot of jerseys.
Oh, no. You should see my closet.
It's great having you in today.
Thank you for having me.
So am I going to talk about this Clemson-Pitt game, or is there going to be a takeover?
I mean, Clemson and Pitt, it deserves maybe a mention here, but I've got a couple of things. Buck, and this actually pertains to you. I think you'd be interested in this. You played a little minor league baseball back in the day, correct?
I got a paycheck playing pro ball.
All right, well, here we go. So this story here, now there's been a lot of talk in recent years, really since social media kind of took over, a lot of pictures emerging from the MLB minor league ranks of like team hotels and the lodging and housing of minor league players being less than par, obviously nowhere near the major league level.
Let me tell you about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you know all about it. Well, a rare win for Major League Baseball, and we talk about all of its shortcomings, the umpire instant replay debacle certainly being at the top of the list, but a rare win for Major League Baseball this past weekend where they announced starting in 2022, the teams themselves will provide the lodging for minor league players. Now, they haven't decided on whether or not they're going to build their own housing for the team or they're just going to provide stipends that cover the full expense of lodging, but a rare W for Major League Baseball for sure.
Yeah, man, normally the minor league teams would point you towards an apartment complex near the stadium that was really affordable and really cheap. And some of these dudes were like living like eight guys in one apartment, a two-bedroom apartment. Now, they gave you that stipend for the money when you went out of town, but it was enough to get you some Mickey D's, like three meals a day.
And there's been...
The buses were breaking down in the middle of the night.
Kind of like the movie Major League. Basically, that's how you were
no
living
doubt.
In the minors, right?
Yeah.
With the prop engines. and all of that. So, yeah, there have been advocacy groups really emerging that have been following these and taking all these pictures and putting up a petition, and it looks like Major League Baseball is making a change there. And one more thing real quick. McDonald's is jumping on the bandwagon of the vegan burgers. You've seen them, the Whopper, Impossible Burger, and all that stuff. Well, McDonald's is now introducing a burger called the McPlant. They've debuted over in the UK. They're going to do it in select restaurants over here. Now, listen, I've got no problem with them jumping on that bandwagon. It seems like every company needs to now at least have that vegan option. But I would just say that maybe come up with something a little bit more appealing than McPlant.
Yeah, I try to stay away from all the, basically, I'm going to McDonald's, I'm getting a burger. Not getting the McRib. Anything like that.
I was tempted. I'm not going to lie. Yesterday,
have
I had
you
a
done
doctor's
the McRib?
I have, and I guess it's back. I thought about it. I stayed away, but I came close.
Thinking about heading to Hardee's over there. They've got some. They've got the meat. You know what I'm saying? All right. The final word. Hitting a baseball is difficult. Fail 7 out of 10 times, and you're considered a success. The Braves are going to dust the Dodgers and advance to the World Series. Our star player, Freddie Freeman, is going to have to snap out of this post-hater knockout funk and start putting the ball in play. Freddie's 0 for 8 in this series with 7 strikeouts. And the shocker is seeing Freddie swing and miss at pitches in the middle of the strike zone. That's not going to cut it in L.A. We can't survive with just Rosario, Ozzie, and Riley doing the damage. We need Freddie to square some balls up at Dodger Stadium. Can he do it? Yes, he will. And it needs to start late this afternoon at 5:08. And there's the final word. Nernie, great job. Jordan, always great having you on. It's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. Coming up next, Nick and Chris will join you. Hope you'll join me tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. See you, Coach.
Great to see you, Buck.
All right, go Braves.
Thanks, Coach.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.